This episode of Podcasts from the Past was recorded on September 1st, 1941. Please remember to follow Tim and Mike on Twitter at @TimPaleri and at @MichaelOHaver1. And follow the show's page at Podcasts from the. If you don't like it, we'll cut your brake line.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Tim's Entertainment Show. It's September 1st, 1941, and we saw Citizen Kane today. I am your host, Tim Paleri, and with me today is that creep over there behind the glass. What's your name again?
Greetings, America, and anyone else that speaks the King's English. My name is Michael O'Haver.
That sound you hear is Jimmy Dorsey and his orchestra with the number one song in the U.S. of A. with Green Eyes, Aquelos, Ojos, Verdes. And it is the sound of your Labor Day, 1941. And nobody in the world knows what Aquelos, Ojos, Verdes means. I spent hours trying to figure this out, and I have come up empty. So clearly it's part of a distant, unknown, foreign language from civilizations long ago.
So it means those green eyes.
No one knows what it means at all.
So I just said exactly what it means. It means those green eyes.
Not even Jimmy Dorsey knows what it means.
I'm positive he knows what it means. It means those green eyes.
We've got a great show for you today. Now let me stop this stupid song here. Listener of KROW, here today I am reviewing the new film Citizen Kane. And on the show today I'm having young director George Orson Welles as a guest. So it's going to be a very exciting show today. Tim from Tim's Entertainment Show is going to interview George Orson Welles alone.
So that's Tim and Mike's entertainment show.
Here in the studio, a one-on-one, Tim and George Orson Welles.
So that is categorically incorrect. It is not a one-on-one. It is two-on-one. It is us and Orson Welles.
Orson Welles has a lot he wants to interview me about. We're both radio men. And we're old pals. He's probably my best friend in the whole world, George Orson Welles.
Orson Welles is your best friend.
On to current events. On July 1st, NBC Television began commercial operation on WNBT for Channel 1. The world's first legal television commercial, which was for Bulova watches, occurred at 2:29 p.m. before a baseball game between the Brooklyn Dodgers and Philadelphia Phillies. The 10-second spot displayed a picture of a clock over a map of the United States, accompanied by the voiceover, "America runs on Bulova time." Listeners on KROW, how do you feel about the Federal Communications Commission now allowing commercials on television? I mean, talk to me, listeners. And really just television in general, because I think television is getting less and less popular by the day. I don't believe it's going anywhere. Listeners, please answer. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think this television thing is going to catch on. Radio is king in this country.
Listeners, but I'm curious what you think out there. Like, just a smart opinion from someone.
All right, I think I see what's going on here.
Now, here's a story I didn't mention earlier this summer because, you know, this is an entertainment show, not a sports show. But on July 17th, New York Yankees ballplayer Joe DiMaggio's 56 game. I sounded it out. I figured it out, guys. So DiMaggio's 56 game hitting streak ended. Now, listeners, how do you feel about this loser's hit streak ending? I mean, my God, what an imbecile to keep a hitting streak live for only 56 games. I mean, seriously, if I was playing basketball, I'd have a forever streak going because I am an exceptional athlete and brain guy. What do you think, listeners?
Who doesn't know how to pronounce game and baseball? What is happening right now? And what do you mean only keep it alive for 56 games? I mean, he struck out. How is he? You can't just will himself into keeping a streak alive forever.
Hey, Valerie, come on in. Have a seat.
Guys, what's going on here?
Welcome to the show, Valerie. Our show producer is here.
Valerie, he's completely ignoring me.
Well,
I am not.
Tim, why are you completely ignoring Mike?
He could hear that. You heard that I said you're ignoring me.
See?
Valerie, tell Mike that I can't hear him.
Mike, Tim can't hear you.
All right, that's ridiculous. I'm right here, and I can hear him. How could he not hear me?
Tim, did you hear that? Did you hear that? Mike said that he's right here and that he can hear you, so how can you not hear him?
I heard you.
Okay. Is it the glass? Is it because I'm behind the glass?
Valerie, tell Mike that there's nothing he can do on God's green earth that would get me to hear him right now.
Mike, Tim wants you to know there's nothing on God's green earth? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Nothing on God's green earth that can get him to hear you? What?
Mm-hmm. I appreciate you trying to repeat this. I could hear everything he said. So this is insane right now. This is what an insane person does. And first of all, I don't understand why he's upset at me. He got me locked in a concentration camp. I'm the one that should be furious. I've spent years in a concentration camp.
So, Tim, I don't think Mike's very happy with you right now.
Tell him if he can't hear me, at least ask him why he set up a meeting for me in Auschwitz to go meet with a new producer, and in reality, I was being locked in a concentration camp. Could you please ask him that?
Tim, mm-hmm. Is there a good reason why you sent Mike to Auschwitz to go meet with a new producer, but in reality actually had him locked up in a concentration camp?
Valerie, tell Mike that he knows the reason, but it's because I wanted to get this show syndicated in Europe. I mean, it's pretty simple. I thought it was a good thing to do, send my buddy over, you know, my radio partner. I mean, that's how business gets done, right?
Mike, Tim said he...
I heard exactly what he said.
You got that?
So
you got that.
You thought... I apologize. I don't mean to cut you off, but Tim thought a good way to get the show syndicated was to send me to Auschwitz?
Correct.
I think he did this on purpose.
Tim, did you do this on purpose?
Valerie, tell Mike that I did not do it on purpose. I thought it was the best avenue in getting us syndicated.
Mike, Tim sounds as though he's apologetic-ish.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, he made an error. There was an error made by Tim.
So he's denying he did this on purpose. He's saying that this was just a mistake.
Yep. I mean, Valerie, tell Mike yep.
Mike, Tim says yep.
Yeah, thank you, Valerie. Thank you.
We did eventually get syndicated, but not because of what Mike did. I placed a call. I have a cousin over there. He works at a very popular radio network in London, and he got the show syndicated with one quick phone call. And Mike, you know, was too much of an idiot to get that done, so I had to take matters into my own hands.
Too much of an idiot? I was locked in a concentration camp.
Valerie, lower Mike's mic, please. And finally, on August 31st, NBC Radio debuted a comedy show called The Great Gildersleeve on their station. I mean, come on, right? I mean, this is fucking bullshit, Valerie. Just more competition against me. So I feel like the whole world is holding this show back. I'm such a good person, and no one believes in me. It's so frustrating. And I say this because I know this landscape. Mike and I actually, years ago, actually pitched NBC Radio a bunch of comedy shows. And, you know, they didn't pick up any of our ideas. I mean, I had some good ideas.
Yeah, you had the one about the sewer-dwelling homeless people.
Yeah, Valerie.
Called Stinky People.
Yep, Valerie, tell Mike. Yep, that was a good one. It was a laugh riot. It was about homeless people who lived in the sewers. And we actually shot a pilot with a live audience from the sewer. And that didn't laugh as much as we would have expected. So it didn't get picked up. And we had another one where we placed two assassins who didn't know each other in a very, very small town. And the first one to kill the other one wins the show. But the problem was that they found each other from the very beginning of the first episode because they just saw where the cameras were, and then they just attacked each other.
We had the one about the dogs, for dogs, by dogs. It was a show hosted by dogs that was targeted towards dogs.
It was
a laugh riot.
Yep. It was called Bark, Growl, Bark.
Bark, Growl, Bark. I remember that.
And it should have been the next big hit. Valerie, tell Mike that.
Mike, Tim thinks that should have been the next big hit.
Well, thank you, Valerie. Yeah, I thought it was a good idea. Who doesn't want to watch a show about dogs for dogs?
Okay.
Tim, Mike really likes the idea, too. Maybe you repitch?
Maybe I'll do it alone. So let's bring in director and star of Citizen Kane, George Orson Welles. And here he is, George Orson Welles. Have a seat. Congratulations.
Yes.
This is an honor.
Yes, it's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. Thank you for being here on Tim's Entertainment Show.
It is a pleasure to be here with you on your radio program. Thank you.
No.
Thank you indeed.
We saw Citizen Kane today. And I liked it, you know. It was something.
Yeah, congratulations on this movie. This was amazing. And congratulations on your success in the radio.
Gentlemen, you are too kind. I do thank you. I thank you very much indeed. Yes.
We do. We love your radio history. We're big fans.
Yes.
Me especially.
Yes.
And especially the War of the Worlds skit. It changed a lot, radio, but it changed a lot of people's lives too because it freaked out so many people.
Yes, it was great deal of chaos resulting from our program War of the Worlds. Yes.
Mm-hmm. We thought this was real. We thought aliens had actually come down and taken over the planet. We were in a panic. You know, I don't know. I felt pretty sheepish for days after this, but we went a little crazy in the studio that day.
Now, I must ask you, gentlemen, I understand that many of the radio public, was caught up in the charade of the spectacle, but you, being radio men, of course you knew that it was nothing more than a mere performance, correct? I mean, you must have known the truth.
No, we thought it was real.
Ah.
I
would think a couple of radio veterans such as yourself would have been able to see that it was just a show.
Well, let's play you a clip from our episode. We were reviewing the movie Boys Town that day from 1938, and we saw the movie, and then on the way over to the radio station to broadcast our show, we caught a little bit of your War of the Worlds skit. So, Valerie, roll that clip from 1938 from our Boys Town episode. Listeners on KROW, I don't want to panic anybody, but, we're reviewing the movie Boys Town today. We just saw it. It's a great movie, guys. Spencer Tracy, Mickey Rooney, Andy Rooney, all here in studio with us. But on the way from the movie theater over here to our show, we're listening to the opera in the car, right, Mike? Like we always do.
I love the opera.
We heard over the emergency broadcast system, they said that in Grover's Mill, New Jersey, that there's been an alien invasion. Okay, you heard it.
What's that? An alien invasion? That sounds crazy. I don't even believe in aliens.
Well, get believing in them because it's real.
They're here. There was warning. My good friends told me if you ever encounter an alien, cover yourself in honey. Cover your entire body in honey. Aliens hate honey.
They said they hate honey. They hate paperclips. So just cover yourself in honey first. And what else? Leaves?
Dried leaves. They hate dried leaves. Roll yourself in honey, in paperclips, and dried leaves, and do whatever you can. Avoid these aliens at all costs. They are aliens in Grover's Mill, New Jersey.
Kill anybody you see on the street who is not dressed in honey, paperclips, and dead leaves. Just kill them with any weapon you have right now. Just go outside right now. Valerie, get in here, bring the gun, and shoot Spencer Tracy, Mickey Rooney, and Andy Rooney. Right now.
Yeah. I apologize. It's been a pleasure having you on the show, Andy Rooney and Mickey Rooney. Well, yeah, thank you for having us on the show. It's been a pleasure.
Wow, you guys are just such a great show.
We're going to have our producer shoot you right now because we're pretty sure you're aliens because you're not covered in honey and paperclips and dried leaves. You're going to die right now. I apologize.
Okay, now, Valerie, turn the fucking gun on yourself. Turn it on yourself, Valerie.
Kill yourself, Valerie. It's the only thing left you have to do. I'm going to cover myself in this honey, this box of honey I have behind me.
And that was a clip from our show back in 1938. Wow, that was some entertainment.
My word, gentlemen. I must say I am terribly surprised at you, being a couple of radio veterans such as yourself. I would think, well, I don't know what to think anymore. That poor girl. But
yeah, she killed herself on the air.
Well, it seems to me, sir, that she was encouraged to do so by the two of you, I must say.
A bit of an overreaction on her part, yeah.
And I'm sorry, did I not earlier meet a young lady by the name of Valerie in the studio today?
That's me.
But you, dear, are clearly not the one who shot yourself on that horrible recording.
Yep, that was me.
I mean, it was just a classic hilarious misunderstanding.
Yeah, she blew her brains out.
Yeah.
All over.
George, did you know when you were doing it that you were going to cause such harm to the people when you produced this War of the Worlds broadcast? We lost a good Valerie that day.
Well, I must say, good sir, I had no intent whatsoever. We did this recording at the Mercury Studio, and then I went off to rehearse for a play, and, I mean, we did a production of Dracula only a couple of years ago, and I suppose had you heard that, you'd have convinced everyone in the world that vampires were running around.
Are you telling us right now on the air that vampires exist?
What I'm telling you, good sir, is that I did a production of Dracula in which we made believe that vampires were around.
Valerie, fashion a stake out of the leg of this chair right here. I'm going to break the leg of this chair off. Make a stake out of this.
All right, let's get on to the movie. Citizen Kane was written and directed by George Orson Welles and stars George Orson Welles, Joseph Cotten, and Dorothy Cumming-Gore and Agnes Moorehead. And the picture is about news reporters trying to figure out what a rich publishing tycoon meant on his deathbed when he uttered the words, Rosebud. Oh, and we've got a caller. Patch him on in, Valerie. Hello, caller, are you there?
Boys, are you there? Boys, this is Richard Matheson. How are you?
Doing great, Richard. How are you doing today? Enjoying the show?
Well, yeah, I'm just calling in because I got worried. I wanted to make sure you're all doing okay over there.
Worried about what?
Worried about all this insanity going on.
The only insanity going on is that Mike is a big idiot. I mean, he sounded really stupid on that clip, didn't he, from 1938? By the way, I think that's what you're referring to. It was from 1938. We panicked a lot of people, but nothing is going on. There are no aliens attacking right now.
I got awful worried about you two boys.
Sorry for the confusion, Mr. Matheson.
I'm just glad you're okay. I'm a huge fan.
I just want to make sure that you and your family are okay.
My family's all dead, but that's because of disease, not these issues.
All right, well, thank you for the call, Mr. Matheson. Okay. Well, that's all because Mike is an idiot and overreacted again.
My word, good man. I mean, you have listeners out there who actually think that this is still real.
Yeah, we have good listeners. They pay attention. They love us. They love me.
It sounds as though they paid attention to the ramblings of two madmen, if you ask me.
No one did. No one asked you.
A bit of an overreaction, I suppose.
So the first thing we see in Citizen Kane is Charles Kane whispering the word Rosebud. And then he dies, and then he drops a snow globe, and it bounces a couple of times, and then finally breaks. Now, I heard that every time a snow globe breaks, an angel loses its wings. But seriously, how many snow globes did you have to break to get that right take?
You heard what?
I heard...
That's actually, I don't agree with most of the stuff this guy says, but yeah, that's true. Every time a snow globe breaks, an angel loses its wings.
Well, I don't know what to make of that.
I'm writing about it. I'm writing a screenplay about it. I'll show it to you, maybe.
I'd rather not see it.
Whatever.
But thank you anyway.
I don't know. Snow globes are huge right now.
Was there a question somewhere in all of this?
Then the movie breaks into an epic newsreel. Seriously, George, probably the best newsreel I've ever seen. At one point in the newsreel, they mention that Charles Kane might be a communist. Now, Valerie, ask Mike what he thinks about communism.
Mike, Tim wants to know what you think about communism.
Well, obviously, I don't approve of communism, and I think anybody that's a communist in this country should be, singled out and perhaps put in some sort of detention center for questioning. And I think communism is ruining the world, and I am not a communist.
Tim, did you hear that?
Nope. Caller, are you there?
I'm looking at my mailbox. There's a spaceship right outside the door. It's parked right there. There's always... I see you right now. They're looking right at me.
Are you shooting?
Well, of course I'm shooting. Aren't you boys armed over there?
What are these aliens dressed like?
They're all small. They got some sort of matching uniforms on. Got this golden crest on their uniform. They sure don't look like they got any honey on them. There's no honey. There's no paper clips. And there's no leaves. Ah, you bastards.
Oh.
Oh, Jesus. This is from our old show. No, this guy's firing on innocent people.
Sir,
no, don't
sir,
do it.
Sir, this was from our old episode back in 1938, okay? This is not a real alien invasion. It sounds like you're firing at a bus full of prep school children.
But there's no honey. And there's no leaves.
Sir, please.
Don't do it. God, don't do it.
Welcome to the United States of America.
Wow, that's clearly your fault, Orson.
I'm sorry here, gentlemen. I feel like I must say something. Do you think, perhaps, that the onus could be possibly on the two of you for not clearly informing your viewers over the last 3 years that was nothing more than a radio program?
Valerie... Tell George Orson Welles that I don't appreciate his tone.
Oh, so now you're not speaking to me either. Well, Valerie, tell Tim that I don't appreciate his tone either.
Tim, you heard that, right?
Nope.
I understand you being upset, but you were the one that aired the original broadcast. I mean, you drove us crazy. We drove our fans crazy. This all kind of leads back to you. Maybe you should have put more disclaimers during the radio program.
So then the news reporters set out to interview all of the people in Charlie Kane's life who might have known what Rosebud meant. And at first they visit his second ex-wife, and she is slumped over a table and drunk. D-R-U-N-K, drunk. And then someone orders her another double highball. Valerie, remember that time that me and Mike were at the bar, and he's such a horrible alcoholic that he drank 25 double highballs in one sitting?
Wouldn't that equal just 50 regular balls?
So then in one of the early flashbacks of Citizen Kane's life, we see a little boy who was taken from his home, and now he's the sixth most rich man in the country. Now he's rich, and that makes him like much richer than Mike, but not quite as rich as me.
And you're saying you're more rich than Citizen Kane's character in the movie Citizen Kane?
Valerie, tell Mike that I have the most money in the history of space and time, past, present, and future.
Mike, Tim wants you to know that he has, what?
Just...
I heard what he said. Yeah, I heard what he said.
More money than anyone ever.
Most money in space, time, and the future. You have more money than anyone in the future.
Yep. That's right.
Valerie, if you could please tell Tim that what he just said is impossible. Literally impossible.
Tim, Mike wants you to know that what you just said is impossible. Just literally impossible.
Thank you, Valerie.
You're welcome, Mike.
And then Kane and his buddy have this exchange. Thatcher says, "What would you like to have been?" And Charles Kane says, "Everything you hate." Oh, fucking, I love that line.
I know I'm mad at you right now, but excellent impressions. Excellent.
Thank you. Thank you very much. But seriously, thank you, George. That was just such an awesome line.
Valerie tells him, or whatever his name is, that I agree, it was an awesome line.
Tim, George Orson Welles agrees that that was an awesome line, because he wrote it. Of course he's going to love the line. He wrote it.
I guess.
Okay, so wait, let me just, all right, I'm sorry, I got to put the brakes on this. We're not talking to our guests, so we're talking to our guests through Valerie, and I'm not talking to you, so I'm talking to you through Valerie. This is terrible, terrible radio right now.
Some heathen who would possibly steal someone's last donut out of a dozen donuts when the box was properly marked in the station refrigerator, that's everything I hate.
All right, wait a second. You hate someone that would eat someone's last of a dozen donuts. Or Valerie asked him if that's what he's talking about.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what you're talking about.
You fucking know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
This is about the apple fritter. You're upset at me right now because of the apple fritter, the one I ate in the box that wasn't clearly marked. It was something was scribbled on there.
It was
like a stick figure.
It was
that may have kind of looked like you.
That's my symbol.
That's your symbol? Your name, your signature is just a symbol? It's you, it's a stick figure? And you're mad at me? You had me sent to a concentration camp for eating an apple fritter? Does that in any way seem sane to you? That's crazy. Yeah, I ate the apple fritter. It was the last one there. That's perfectly normal. Everybody eats the last donut. It's got to be done or else it's just going to sit there. I'm sorry. Sorry I ate the last donut in a dozen and got sent to a goddamn concentration camp for it.
I say, will the two of you quit carrying on like a couple of mewling little schoolboys? I've had enough of it. Valerie, my dear, I don't know how you put up with this.
I can't believe this is happening right now.
I admit it, Mike.
I got sent to a concentration camp.
I know.
Apple fritter.
Yeah, I was mad. Oh, I am mad still. But I did. You're right.
Right.
I wanted you to be tortured and killed. I wanted the show to go on with me and someone else. One of these other co-hosts that I tried. But you're back.
Wait, you tried other co-hosts?
Yeah.
You tried out other hosts after you had me sent away?
Yeah. Hello?
Tell Valerie, please tell Tim that I am hurt by this new revelation and that he is an insane person.
Tim, Mike wants you to know you're an insane person and hurt by this revelation?
That's right. Yeah, I'm just, my feelings are hurt.
His feelings are hurt.
Well, Valerie, tell Mike that I don't forgive him for the apple fritter.
Mike, you heard him.
Right, yeah, I heard that. Thank you, Valerie.
Oh my god, what is going on? Whoa, Jesus, sir!
What the hell is this?
Sir!
Hey, guys! Oh, I made it down here! Got you 5 quarts of honey. And I got you paper clips.
He's covered in honey, paper clips, and leaves, and he's giving us some.
Oh my god.
I managed to get to Mr. Williams' shop down there on Main Street. He's dead.
Are you reacting to the 2 minutes of an episode in 1938 that we just played?
All hell's breaking loose outside, guys. Here's the honey, 5 quarts. Here's your paper clips.
What's it like outside?
It's a goddamn war zone outside, guys. You don't understand. The National Guard is here. They're shooting everybody.
Everybody's looting because of a 2-minute clip we played from 3 years ago.
Look out the window, Mike!
It is bedlam out there.
I gotta go save my family, guys. Be safe. Keep spreading the word. Keep spreading the word.
Jesus Christ.
Whoa. I can't believe... George, that, what, yeah.
Yeah, that's your fault, Orson Welles. That's
what,
your fault.
What
right
do you
now,
have to say for yourself?
I refuse to take any kind of responsibility for such a thing. I was merely putting on a radio program. A program that by now, years later, the majority of this country has realized it was nothing more than a program, yet your listeners, for some reason, cannot figure this out.
Don't fucking insult our listeners.
I'm not insulting your listeners, good man. I'm insulting you!
Well, you're right. Mike is a complete idiot. I totally agree. He's so fucking stupid. I'm so surprised he made it back here to this country. But other than him, everyone else in the studio is reasonably smart. Valerie's, she's, you know... She does her job well enough. Valerie, don't fucking look at me. Don't look at me in the eyes.
Valerie shot herself with a shotgun at your request. And you think she's smart.
I will say this for her. She is very loyal. She pours a mean highball.
George, seriously, though, you're such a handsome man on screen. You look better on film. But do you bed a lot of dames?
Do I bed a lot of dames?
It's a fair question. You are a good-looking man.
I'm not going to dignify such a crass question by answering it.
And
yes, I get lots of tail. Yes.
Oh, good. I knew it.
And then there's a big dance number called Charlie Kane. And Valerie, didn't that remind you of the time that I saw Mike dress up like an idiot and march in the Hollywood Christmas parade?
We did that parade together. We both marched in the parade. I was dressed like an elf. You made me dress like the elf. You said I'd be one of Santa's elves.
Valerie, tell Mike that he came off like an idiot in that parade.
It was a Christmas parade.
Like a dumb jerk.
Okay. Valerie, what did Tim just say?
I think you heard what Tim said. Tim, I think you heard what Mike said. George, I think you can figure out what the two are saying. I think everybody needs to squash all of this bullcorn and get on with it. We're doing a show, for Christ's sake.
Never heard such vulgar language from a flower of a woman before.
Wow, she does sound pretty furious. Never heard her this upset.
Yeah.
Even when we had her shoot herself, she didn't get this upset.
Got a bee in my bonnet now, gentlemen.
So then Kane gets married and runs for office for New York State governor. And then he calls out the incumbent governor and says he's coming after him. And then the guy, his name's Geddes, the governor, he exposes an affair that Kane is having with some blonde singer. You know, it just goes on like this, like for a while. It's drama and Kane's life, and then his campaign and marriage both end at the same time. Like, whoop-de-fucking-do. Like, who cares? And then he marries the trollop that he's having the affair with. Valerie, this is normally where I'd ask Mike to share a very personal story about him and one of his ex-wives. Could you ask him to do that?
Tim, what did I just say? Tim, what did I just say?
Well, so I did have a story to share about one of my ex-wives. One of my wives actually did leave me for a billionaire, coincidentally enough. And yeah, she took all of my things. I'm not sure why he could provide for her. But yeah, she left me a note. Said, gone fishing. I had to find out from friends that she left me for a billionaire.
George, can you ask Mike if he went to the lake to see if she was fishing first?
I will do no such thing.
I did, though. I did go to the lake to see if she was fishing. I went to our favorite spot. We used to go fish there together. She wasn't there.
Mike, can you ask George why he's got such a chip on his shoulder?
Yeah, okay. So you want me to... I got it. All right. Mr. Wells, Tim wants to know why you have such a chip on your shoulder.
Valerie, could you please tell Mike to tell Timothy that the chip residing on my shoulder is merely a result from being blamed this entire show for a fiasco that I had nothing to do with. And I am also growing tired of the level of maturity on this program.
Tim, could you please tell George Orson Welles that Mike would like to know what the fuck is going on anymore? I can't even...
And then Kane and his wife go insane and really start to hate each other in this huge mansion of Kane's. And neither really seem like happy people at this point. And is someone a microphone? Is this based on your life?
I think he's asking if this story was based on your life, Mr. Wells.
Michael, I think he's asking me that as well. No, Timothy, no. It's fiction, my good man. Pure fiction. Much like War of the Worlds was fiction.
Good, because I was about to say my mansion is much bigger than yours in the movie. It's like...
You don't have a mansion.
It's like it's like as big as Mars.
You don't seem the type of man who would have a mansion, Timothy.
It takes 10 light years to get to my door from the opening of my driveway.
Yeah, okay, so not only would that be completely inconvenient, but that is impossible and not true. We live right next door to each other.
And then Citizen Kane's wife leaves him. Very sad moment. Valerie, George, Mike, you know, what are the most dramatic breakups you guys have ever had?
Well, I had to divorce myself from reality to come on this radio program today, and that was probably one of the more difficult breakups of my life.
Well, when I was in a concentration camp for a year, my wife at the time left me for our gardener. That was pretty devastating. It was one of the only pieces of mail I got in the camp, actually, was her asking for divorce and all the divorce papers.
Mike, would you tell Tim I'm not answering any more of his questions?
Tim, Valerie, speaking through me, is saying she's not answering any more of your questions.
George, tell Mike to tell Valerie that I don't care what she has to say anyway.
Michael, tell Timothy that I will not be asking those questions to anyone.
Okay, so Valerie, tell Tim that George says he won't be answering any more of those questions.
George, please tell Tim that I am to tell you to ask him to ask you to not ask any more questions.
Valerie, consider it done.
And then Kane throws a tantrum in his mansion and destroys a lot of glass objects. And I couldn't help thinking that looked so fun. And I actually got a chance to do it one time. Actually, when Mike was overseas, I broke into his house and just really fucking trashed the place.
Wait a second. That was you? I thought that was my wife. I thought she trashed the place before she left me. You broke into my house while I was overseas and you trashed my house. For fun.
Nah. Nah, it wasn't me.
You just said that was you. You just said it right now on the air. We can play back. Valerie, play back the tape.
I heard you say it, Timothy.
Nah, I was just kidding. It was Tom and Mark, actually.
Fine radio program, if I might say. Tom and Mark, I enjoy them thoroughly.
You. Fuck you, Wells.
Yeah, enough about Tom and Mark.
I appeared on their show years ago. Wonderful.
And then he dies, and then they start doing inventory of all his objects and statues, and George, you used some kind of crane shot. I was gonna compliment it because it was kind of cool, but you know what? I thought it was stupid. It was a really stupid shot, and you're lucky people didn't die on set like they died when you produced War of the Worlds. You, awfully dangerous man, you. And very handsome, though.
Thank you. I don't know what to say anymore.
In the scene where you were dying, that was pretty moving. I must admit, I teared up a little bit. Were you manning the camera for that scene?
Was I what?
Were you manning the camera for the scene where your character died?
My good man, I was in the scene where my character died. How could I possibly be manning the camera?
I don't follow.
And then at the end, we finally find out what Rosebud means. And it turns out that Rosebud is just the name of a piece of wood that he had in his warehouse. And that's the end.
It was
a piece of wood?
It was the sled.
A piece of wood!
It was totally the sled that the kid took from him in the very beginning.
My good man, are you brain damaged?
Valerie, you agree with me, right? You thought it was stupid.
Still not talking to you.
Valerie is not talking to you.
It seems no one's on your side, Timothy.
But it was, at the end of the day, just a piece of wood. In the fire, burning up. I mean, we didn't need to sit there for 2 hours. This could have been like a 5-minute movie.
Just him burning a sled. Supposed to get his whole backstory just from watching him throw a sled in the fireplace. That's what you're saying?
Yeah. Five, six minutes. 6-minute movie. Something like that.
Okay. By that logic, this radio program could be 2 minutes long. It'd just be all of us agreeing that you're an egomaniac and out of your skull crazy.
Agreed.
Well, thanks for listening to Tim's Entertainment Show today.
Valerie, could you call the National Guard and have them escort us home, since we have now caused a riot that is getting hundreds of people killed?
And Valerie just killed herself again.
God rest her soul.
Thank you for listening to Podcasts from the Past. Eric Patton plays Orson Welles and Kristen Ortiz plays Valerie. Follow Kristen on Twitter @LilMissKO. Tune in next time or we'll make sure you die lonely.